When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are just days away from finally finding out how this story of 125 pounds for this season ends. It's been the talk of the season from really before the season started. We knew it would be wide open. And even then, I feel like 125 has exceeded our expectations for the amount of chaos we've seen. And so we've got the brackets. The brackets are out. I filled them out. In the Piles household, we fill out front and backside to completion. That's just the way you do it. That's the way you should do it. That way, because you never know, especially at a weight like 125, there's some guys that could lose early on that could go on run. So the way I'm going to do these videos is going to talk through the front side, talk through the back side, go through some of the sleepers, dark horses, some of the guys that maybe not don't have the best seeds, but I think could go on some really strong runs through this bracket. And no weight has as many dark horse capable guys than 125 pounds. So let's get started. Braden Davis from Penn State got the top seed. It was Luke Stanich, the 2, Drake Ayala, the 3, Matt Ramos, the 4. And as you look at this, for Braden Davis, he's the 1 seed, so you're thinking, okay, beneficial path. One thing you'll hear kind of a theme in these videos is there's the seed and then there's the path. And it's not always, the 1 seed isn't always the easiest, and sometimes matchups matter. And so if we look at Braden's, yeah, super winnable first match because he's got the 33 or 32 winner. But round 2, he's got the winner of Dean Peterson and Brett Unger. Well, what do we know about Dean Peterson? He wrestled Braden Davis. How'd that match go? Overtime, sudden victory win for Braden Davis. Extremely tight match. What I will say, if for Penn State fans, did Dean Peterson have a strong scoring opportunity? Maybe one. And there was one where it was sort of close, but by and large, it was Braden that was sort of on the attack on the offense. But we've seen Dean Peterson can wrestle a lot of guys really close. He had a strong showing at Big Tens where he had a number of impressive wins in a really deep field at Big Tens. It almost made the finals. So for Braden, for a round 2 match for a number 1 seed, you would not typically see someone you had a sudden victory match with. But that's what Braden's likely potentially going to see. Now, for all we know, Peterson loses to Unger, and then we don't have that match, and it maybe is a different deal. But then let's look to the next one. You got Pat McKee or Richie Figueroa. That's his quarterfinal match. And then in the semis, it could be Braden Davis versus Matt Ramos. Now, I don't know if it'll be Figueroa or McKee that Braden Davis faces. And we just saw the McKee match. It looks like that's a great matchup for Braden. But Richard Figueroa is a bit of a wild card because he started the season. Well, he didn't start the season. We didn't see him for a while till December, late December, early January. And then at a point in the year, he was 500 or sub 500. But he's rounded into form of late. He won Pac-12s. He beat Troy Spratley. He beat Luke Stanich, I think. So now you're like, all right, is this maybe one of the better guys in the country? It's possible. So if it is Richard Figueroa versus Braden Davis, absolute upset potential there at the quarter for Braden. And then he'll see, and predicting this far down the line is tough, but if you don't know, I'm going to kind of give you my predictions here, and I do have Braden Davis winning this tournament. And, you know, there's not – what I saw at Big Tens was not just the ability to score points, but he has a unique ability to win – matches that are they're just in the margins. It's these tight little situations. I mean, the D'Agostino match is my number one example for Braden because we saw him. He had to get out in 5 seconds in tiebreakers, and he did it. That's just a level of savviness for a true freshman. He just keeps passing the test, even though everyone has blemishes at this weight class. I just like what I've seen so far. I think Matt Ramos makes it to Braden. I think he's the other semifinalist that he faces. But as you look at this, you got Jory Volk versus Anthony Noto or Brandon Kaler in round 2. Volk's a Big 12 champion, certainly an All-American contender this year. Anthony Noto has been ranked number 1 at different points in the season, and he's a returning All-American. Round one on this top side, and I'm focused on the top half right now. Steve Poulin versus Noah Certain. You know, could go either way. Steve won, but it was not this season, but last. Can he do it again? That's the question. And then Matt Ramos, he'll have McCrone, and then the Poulin Certain winner. I think he wins that one. And then I think I have Noto out of the 12 beating Jory Volk. I don't know. I don't really know. Maybe, maybe not. But I have Ramos beating Noto in that quarterfinal match, setting up the Davis match. And this is a match I've wanted to see, and we'll see how it plays out. I think Braden, as I've said, he's answered all the tests, and I think Ramos is going to have a hard time. The big moves, I think Braden will be ready for him. We saw Pat McKee throw the kitchen sink at Braden Davis, especially at the end there, and he was ready for it. So I've got Braden making the finals. Top half, bottom half. I think there's an opportunity. If you focus on the bottom part of the bottom half, I think there is a ton of chaos that can happen here. Now, if you have been watching these videos for months, you know that in the preseason, I picked a young man named Jacob Camacho to win NCAAs. And I looked like a genius for about 3 weeks. And then Camacho, because Camacho, he went from, I don't know, fifth, sixth or so to number one in country. So I'm feeling really great. And then after I started to pat myself on the back, he loses like three in a row. He lost to McCrone. He lost to Trevor Anderson and UNI, and he lost another one. And he ends up not even being the starter for NC State for a little bit, at which point I'm not bringing up that video so much. But now Camacho's back. He's been on a heater. He's returned. He beat Cooper Flynn twice. He won ACCs. He beat Brett Unger. He's looking really tough right now. And him out of the seven, it's interesting. I actually have him making the finals. Now, what's that path like? How crazy is that? I don't think it's that crazy. Blake West, round one. Then Eric Barnett or Tanner Jordan in round two. That's a tough one for him. Eric Barnett, depending on the matchup, he's so dangerous. He's really good from the top position and in scrambles. This is a tough match for Jacob Camacho. But then I have Jacob Camacho beating who in that quarterfinal? Not Luke Stanich. I have, and this could, you know, this is the way where if you want to take some risks, you want to take some guesses, you want to be a little bit, you know, reckless with the seeds. This is the one you can do it. I got Michael DiAgostino. I have him beating Caleb Smith. Now, I know Caleb Smith beat him earlier this year, but I also know that Caleb Smith is on kind of a slide here. He's lost, I think, three out of his last five matches. Now, those are tough guys, but it's not the kind of momentum you want to see. I thought DiAgostino, despite not having the highest finish at Big Tens, I thought he had a reasonably good showing and was this close to making the finals of a very tough Big Ten. So I have DiAgostino beating him. And then this is an even bigger upset. I have DiAgostino taking out Stanich, the two seed. I think DiAgostino, he's sticky. He can tie you up. He's hard to score on. And in a match against Luke Stanich, I think he can win that match. So I have Jacob Camacho beating DiAgostino, not Stanich in that quarter, and then sets up a rematch against Drake Ayala, who, if you're a Drake Ayala fan, you know Camacho beat him Drake's true freshman year. What does that mean now? Basically nothing, but it is a data point you can point to. So this is one, you know, I'm doing one of these for every single weight class. This is one where I took the biggest swing, I think, and I have Camacho making the finals, beating DiAgostino, then Drake Ayala. I do have Drake making the semi. He takes out Troy Spratley and Jet Strickenberger and Eli Griffin on the way to making that semi. But what else do we have here? Some early tough matches. Cooper Flynn, Braden Palmer from Chattanooga. Haven't seen him a lot against the elite of the elite, but Braden Palmer, this is a guy who a year ago pinned Aaron Nagao, okay, to make the scuffle finals. He's really tough. He's got Cooper Flynn. Cooper Flynn, Troy Spratley, round two is a really competitive match. I think Flynn's going to be in it, but is he going to be able to generate offense on the level of Troy Spratley? I'm not as sure of that. And Spratley's someone, if you're looking for an opportunity for some Cowboys to maybe exceed expectations in certain weight classes, 125 is a good one to look to, because Spratley had a tight overtime match with Drake Ayala. He lost that match, but obviously, if you're going to overtime in a scoreless, you know, or escape match, you feel like Oklahoma State Spratley will be right there. But I have Drake winning that match yet again before losing to Camacho. this could go a lot of different ways. I'll look at the backside now, and this is one where, man, on the backside is going to be incredibly competitive too. You've got matches like Poulin and Volk really early. Another guy to keep an eye on is Kyson Terracina. I mean, I have him losing in round one to Patrick McKee. McKee beat him pretty soundly, not this year, but last year at the All-Star. So I'm sticking with McKee. But Kyson Terracina is a guy with a major decision victory over Eric Barnett this year. Everyone's seen the talent and know that Kyson is really, really tough. And he's someone that's going to be, by my predictions, on the backside round one. So he could be an absolute terror. And I actually have him hitting Eric Barnett early in the WrestleBacks and winning that match before falling to Luke Stanich. I have Stanich coming all the way back for third. While I've called the upset there, I think he's still going to make a deep run. I think his style is built for tournaments. I think because he can beat a lot of different types of wrestlers. He's really physical. He's a great hand fighter. He's good in every single position. He's hard to take down. He can generate offense. He's tough from the top position. Check, check, check. He checks a lot of boxes. So while maybe it's a little disappointing finish for Luke, I still think getting third as a true freshman when no one even thought he was going to get a look to start is an incredible season. So I have Stanich beating Ramos for third, beating Drake Ayala in the consolation semis, and Patrick McKee before that, and Anthony Noto. I mean, he's running an absolute gauntlet. Listen to this path I have Stanich on. I have him going through Unger, Terracina, Anthony Noto, former number one, Patrick McKee, multiple All-American, Drake Ayala, the three seed, Matt Ramos. We all know what he's done in his career. That's how highly I think of him. So I have Ramos getting fourth. I think he beats Volk after falling in the semis to Braden Davis. I have Drake Ayala beating Volk for fifth place, and I have Patrick McKee beating Troy Spratley for seventh. So in my round of 12, I have Spratley beating Figueroa. That's a coin flip type of match. I don't even know how I feel about that, honestly. I mean, that Figueroa could very well win that. I mean, and listen, I reserve the right to change my mind before the first whistles blow here. So if I say, hey, I'm actually changing it to Richard Figueroa, I mean, that's the one where I have him losing in the round of 12, but he could very reasonably, win this match. Jory Volk, I have him beating D'Agostino in the round of 12. I have McKee beating Cooper Flynn, and I have Stanich, as I mentioned, over Noto. So that's my bracket for 125 pounds. I think what makes this part of the season fun is everyone can kind of feel like an expert. You can make a call, and it's really fun. But at the end of it all, these are all going to get blown up. It's so unpredictable, and the level of these guys are so high. They're so good. They're so tough to beat that it makes it really tough to predict. But I'm basing it a little bit on style matchups. I'm basing it on what I've seen this year, what I know about these guys from the past. What do you think? Who are the top guys at 125 pounds for the NCAA tournament? Who's your champion? So much can change in the course of a season, and certainly that's what we've seen at 133 pounds of weight, where coming into it, maybe one of the bigger locks to win a title on paper in the preseason was Cornell's Vito Arujo. We just watched him beat Dayton Fix and Roman Bravo Young convincingly at the NCAA tournament last year. Then he goes on to make the world team. Then he goes on to win a world title. And so the thought of him not being able to win an NCAA title the next year was sort of, I mean, how could you even fabricate that? Why would you even think that's possible? But what we've seen this year has certainly surprised many wrestling fans. And now we're looking at a weight where Vito's not the favorite. In fact, Vito Rujal, the world champion, is the sixth seed. And so going to get into who I think is going to win the title, who's going to place the big sleepers, the round of 12 matches, my place winners 1 through 8. But I'll start at the top, and I think I'm going to stick with my pick a month or so ago, Dayton Fix. He's my pick to win a title at NCAAs this year. And I think a combination of things really set up well for Dayton. One, he earned the one seed, and in this scenario, I think it's a great path for him to make the final. He wasn't able to make the final last year. He's made it 3 times previously, and he had lost to Nick Soriano and Roman Bravo Young twice in the NCAA finals. Now, I think he's got a great path to make the finals again. And looking opposite, it's Ryan Crookham. It could be Vito Arujo, Kai Arini. Really, these are the, in my opinion, the guys that are the second, third, and fourth most sort of proven guys in the weight class, and they happen to be all opposite of Date and Fix. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty, the details, the draws. What does it look like for Date and Fix to make the final? We'll get into Aaron Nagao's path, Ryan Crookham, Kyrene, Vito Ruja, so on and so forth, how I see this weight playing out. But for Date and Fix, I think he's gonna have Nick Bouzakis or Braxton Brown in his second match. I think that's Bouzakis is interesting because he's so powerful, but I think Dayton Fix is going to be able to win that match. And then Evan Frost, a familiar opponent for Dayton Fix, someone that he's been able to beat on two occasions now. I think he's going to beat him a third time, even though really like Evan Frost, and we'll get into his path and why I think he could be a potentially an All-American this year. Now, it could be that he sees Dom Serrano. It could be that he sees Julian Klebov in reality. I think Julian is someone that you should not sleep on beating Dom Serrano and Evan Frost and making that quarter against Dayton. Don't rule that out. I think that's possible. Julian may be the what? He's the 24? He's tough. He's kind of gritty in a lot of different positions. And I think, you know, Dom Serrano, he's good, but is he really the 9? Maybe not in my mind. And then Evan Frost, he's still a freshman, right? And Julian's been around the block a time or two. So for that reason, don't sleep on him. But I played a little straighter than that, and I have Frost losing to Dayton. Looking at that second half of the top half, or the middle quarter there, got Dylan Ragusan versus Kolioko, round one. Man, that is a tough matchup for the 5-seed Ragusan. Kolioko's tough. Now, he has not had the season many of us predicted, but Kolioko from Penn, still a tough out. Sam Latona, I think, will be Ragusan's round two opponent. I think Ragusan gets by Sam, who's not had the season that I thought he'd have. He's the 12 seed. I think coming in this year, he seemed like a top 5-6 sort of lock guy. He hasn't been that this year. Maybe he can turn it around. Dylan Shaver also looming in that quarter. I think it's going to be a 4-5 quarterfinal. I think it's going to be Shaver versus Ragusan, a Big Ten Finals rematch where we saw Dylan Shaver go beast mode, teching Dylan Ragusan, which is surprising on its own, but even more surprising when you consider that Shaver lost to Ragusan twice in the season. This year, crazy things happen in the sport. And while I do not think it's going to be a blowout match, I think it's going to be really tight once again. And when Shaver put Ragusan on his back, I think Kozak pointed this out, that changed everything, right? And from that point on, Ragusan could never get back together, and it spiraled out of control. I think it's going to be a more controlled match. I have Shaver winning it still. I've kind of gone back and forth on this one, but what I've seen from Dylan, really impressive. I think this is an absolute coin flip match. Don't let that tech fall confuse you at all. If you think Ragusan can win this quarter, I'm not surprised at all. But I think both of them lose to Dayton Fix, and Dayton makes the finals. Look at the bottom half. Vito Ruja, I told you he's the 6, so what's his path look like? It's pretty good to the quarter. I think it's pretty clear he's going to make that quarterfinal round where he'll likely face Kai Orini. But I have my little red circle here. On Kyrene's second round match against Jacob Van Dee. For a 3-seed, Van Dee is a tough 14-seed. We've seen this guy battle in a lot of different matches. He's been right there with some of the best, and he's beaten some good wrestlers this year. So don't sleep on Van Dee. I think he's tough. I think that's not a throwaway match for Kyrene. I have Kai winning that match, but if you want one on your radar, if you're looking for an upset special at 133, Van Dee over Orini, 14 over 3, could happen. But I have Orini winning that match, setting up a Vito Orini quarterfinal. I'm going with Vito. But there's no doubt in my mind Kai can win this match. It's going to be close. Kai's a really good athlete. He can wrestle upper body. I don't think the mat will be too much of a factor here. It's going to be a neutral battle. And for as, I'll say limited or as far removed from the last year Vito that we're seeing right now, he's still absolutely elite on his feet. And I think he gets the takedown. He might need 2 to beat Orini, but I think he's going to be able to knock off Kai. But that said, if Kai wins this match, no one's surprised one bit. Looking down below, I've got Aaron Nagao in the second round taking out Nasir Bailey. Bailey's had a really good season. Both these guys really tough from the top position, but Nagao, he's a guy who's done it at this level. I like what I saw at Big Tens. He's really good from the top position. And I think Nasir's going to have a hard time getting a takedown against Aaron Nagao. So I have Nagao winning that match, setting up a match against Ryan Crookham in that quarterfinal. Crookham won pretty soundly in their dual matchup between he and Aaron Nagao. I think he gets this one as well. I love what I've seen from Ryan Crook. I mean, he truly had the best season of any 133-pounder this year. He's just not the one seed, right? And I think he's going to take out Aaron Nagao again, and I think he's going to take out Vitor Rujo for the third time this year. It's crazy to think. It's so hard to replicate that. But I think the problems that Ryan presents, first of all, he does such a great job at getting the legs, and he's a really efficient finisher. He doesn't look like he gives that many counter opportunities, whereas we've seen when in the Vito matches, Vito's attacks can lead to some counters. Now, Vito was able to get a takedown last time. That's notable, but I don't think Vito's quite right, and I think Crookham's right on. So I think it's a Crookham fix final. I think these are two extremely similar wrestlers. I think when you attack both of these guys' legs, they're really dangerous. Kind of a freaky feel with their hips. They can really counter and move in good ways. They're really athletic, kind of twitchy guys. Crookham may be able to generate leg attacks a little more consistently, maybe a little more speed to the leg, but Dayton could get in on his left side attack. He's got his inside trip, which we haven't seen as much this year, but would never be surprised to see him hit that. But I think Dayton gets it done this year. I think this is the time he wins his title. I think everything's lining up perfectly for Dayton Fix, and it's going to be a tough one in this final. And don't think for a second this is anything but a one takedown superpositional chess match. That's what we're going to have at 133 if it's Dayton versus Ryan Crookham. I firmly believe that. One thing with Dayton, the one thing that gives me a little bit of doubt, some of his late match performances. He looked a little fatigued. He's given up some points, or he's given up a stall call, or he's just like, it's going one way and then it's shifting. He's going to need to put 7 minutes together against Ryan. He's going to need to put 7 minutes together against Ragusan or Shaver, right? Even Frost at the end there was looking kind of strong in that quarter. So he's got to put full 7 minute matches together. I think he does that and wins the title. Now, looking at the backside, I've got Vito coming back for third, beating Shaver. I've got Vito beating Ragusan as well. After losing in the semi. So he goes through Ragusan and Shaver to take third. Shaver's fourth. Looking at my round of 12, I've got Ragusan over Nasir Bailey. So for Penn State fans, if Nagao doesn't beat Nasir, he's going to drop down here and get the loser of Shaver and Ragusan. And those have been tough matchups for Nagao. So beating Nasir is, I think, incredibly important for Aaron Nagao to be an All-American this year. So a keen eye on that matchup, because I think however Nagao performs there is going to determine, you know, his backside path and how he can play. So staying on that top side, beating Nasir Bailey, getting to that quarterfinal match, I think sets him up much better. I have Frost taking out Van D in the round of 12. I have Nagao beating Sam Latona. I think that's a much more manageable match for Aaron Nagao than Dylan Ragusan. Right, so that's the difference in beating Nasir or not beating Nasir. It's Dylan Ragusan or Dylan Shaver in the round of 12, or Sam Latona, Kurt Phipps, someone like that. So, for sure, a tough match for Nagao, but I think based on the seasons they have, you think Nagao can probably get that done. And then I have Kai Orini taking out Nick Bouzakis in the round of 12. Round before that, I have Bouzakis beating Klebov. I think Klebov could go on a run there, and that's a match where I could see it going either way. Kolioko I have making the round of 16, along with Brody Teske, who loses to Nasir Bailey before the round of 12. So I have Ragusan beating Nagao for 5th, and I have Kai Orini taking out Evan Frost for 7th place. So compared to 125, this weight is not as crazy, and I didn't go as much off script here. I didn't have a lot of high seeds placing. This weight feels a little more set. Now, nothing's set in this game. These guys are just too good. The talent level's too high. And we see it every year. Things we would never predict happen. And so it'll happen, and this will end up not being quite right, potentially. But those are my picks. That's my top eight. I do feel like this round of 12, there is some variance. I think Latona, Nagao, significant variance. Bailey, Ragusan, there's variance there. Staying top size essential. So that's my thoughts on 133. Going to be a great weight. I think Dayton Fix gets it done in his final year for the Cowboys. 141 pounds, man, I love this weight class. To me, it is one of the deepest weights in the country. There's so many guys that I think could make deep runs at this weight class, a few sleepers. And this is one where round two and even round one, we're going to see some extremely high-level matchups. We're going to see All-American versus All-American in round one. That's how deep this weight class is. And while it is really deep, it does feel like there is a set tier, a pecking order that's going to be tough for that group of really talented guys to break through. And so who do I have winning this weight? So in this video, I'm going to talk about who I think is going to win this weight. Who are going to be the All-Americans? Who are the sleepers, the dark horses that could go on runs? And yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going to get into. So for this one, 141, my champion, I'm going with Bo Bartlett. Now, he's the 2 seed. I just saw him lose to Jesse Mendez in the Big Ten Finals, and that's actually who I think he's going to wrestle in the NCAA Finals. But I think it's going to go a little differently. I'll get into that in a bit. Let me work my way backwards. So for Bo Bartlett getting the 2 seed, not the most ideal draw when in round two, he's very likely looking at Cole Matthews. Now, everyone kind of knows the deal with Cole. He's in a lot of matches. Now, he started the season and was not very good, just to put it, just to be blunt. It was not wrestling like we'd seen Cole Matthews. He was losing to a number of unranked wrestlers, and you're like, is this guy going to be an NCAA qualifier? Then he beats Jesse Mendez, our top seed in the country. And he starts to knock off some of the tougher ACC guys. Like, all right, Cole Matthews is back. Well, that's who Bo Bartlett is going to have in the second round of NCAAs, potentially. Obviously, they have to win their matches, but that's my prediction. And what do we know about Bo Bartlett versus Cole Matthews? Well, 1 year ago, Cole Matthews had Bo dead to rights. It was a tiebreaker match, and Bo was down on riding time and had to get a takedown in tiebreakers. And if you watch a lot of wrestling, you know how rare it is to get those takedowns in tiebreakers in that little 30-second period. But that's what Bo was able to do. He was able to run him down. He got an exchange. He made a flurry happen. He got the score late, and he took out Cole Matthews. So Bo was that close to losing to him a year ago. But is Matthews better from a year ago? I'm not sure. Is Bo Bartlett better? Feels pretty certain he's better. So all that being said, I think Bo wins that match. And then I think it's Cale Happel is his next opponent. I think Cale Happel takes out Tag and Jamison. That's a coin flip match in my mind. That could go either way. Taggins had a great freshman campaign for the Cowboys. I'm going Happel here, and I'm going Bartlett over Happel, which sets up another meeting between Bo Bartlett and Iowa's Real Woods. Now, Real got the 3 seed, Bo got the 2, but I really like Real Woods' draw, except for the fact that almost sort of a similar situation, he has Clay Carlson in round one. Now, Clay Carlson is the 30 seed, so you say, well, what does that really matter? I mean, it's Real Woods. Well, if you don't know, Clay Carlson is a multiple All-American for South Dakota State, and he is someone who Real Woods lost to at NCAAs in 2021. I believe it was the round of 12 he lost to him. If not that, it was like a quarterfinal match. But either way, it was a match that determined All-American honors, and Clay Carlson was able to beat him. Now, Clay has not had he's the 30 seed. So obviously his season has not been what Coach Hahn and the Jackrabbits maybe thought it was going to be. But he qualified, he made it, and this is not going to be a blowout match for Real Woods. I would be really surprised to see this be a bonus point victory for Real. As good as he is, this is a tough first round. Then I think he'll have Jesse Vasquez or Malik Hines, and then I think he has a rematch with Lachlan McNeil in the quarterfinal. Lachlan is someone he wrestled at the Soldier Salute. He beat him. It was pretty convincing and impressive, and Lachlan's had a fine season. I think he's a solid All-American candidate, but he didn't look like he's ready to beat Real Woods, and I don't think he will be here. So it's a Real Woods-Bo Bartlett matchup, and last time these two wrestled, it was at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It was all Bo Bartlett in this meeting. I think it's going to be a closer match. I think a little more calculated. We know with Bo Bartlett, he's going to keep it tight, right? He's not going to – big part of his game is not being in risky situations where he can get countered or scored on. He wrestles within himself, and it works well for him. And I think that's why he's going to win this match again. I feel like Real Woods is not quite the guy he was a year ago when he went undefeated to the NCAA Finals before dropping a tight one to Andrew Alirez. So I got Bo winning that one. Let's go to the top half. I got Jesse Mendez making the final. I mentioned that. If you're wondering, I think there's a lot of guys with the absolute ability to punch through and make it interesting against Jesse. One is that Anthony Etchemendia from Iowa State. This dude is so good on his feet. He's so dynamic. He can fire legs. He can go upper body. He's tough to get to. And while his path is not the best, like he's going to have Josh Edmond or Wyatt Henson round two. That's a tough close matchup. And then Ryan Jack in the quarter. I have him beating upsetting, slight upset over Ryan Jack to make that semi. For Ryan Jack, he's got to beat Jordan Titus or Tom Crook in his second match. And that's just what I'm talking about. Both those Crook and Titus are really tough. That's a coin flip, All-American, almost All-American caliber type of match in round one. And one of them is going to drop into the WrestleBacks after their first match. It's that deep. And I think Jack beats Titus, and he obviously can beat Etchemendia. I kind of disagree with Kozak. Kozak thinks it's actually a really good matchup for Jack. I think it's a better matchup for Etchemendia. We'll find out. And then this 8-9 matchup, Brock Hardy, Sergio Limley. I'm so impressed with this kid from Michigan, Sergio Limley. True freshman. He's in every single match. He can go with everyone in the country. I think he beats Brock Hardy here. I think he wins that match. He won it at Big Tens after losing in the duel. And that sets up a Mendez-Limley match. I think this one's going to be a brawl, a fight, a scrap. Really tight one. But Mendez, look what he just did at Big Tens. He beat Bo Bartlett. He beat Real Woods back-to-back matches. And his physicality is really standing out at 141 pounds. So I've got Mendez winning this one. And you know what? And I haven't beaten Etchemendia in what I think is probably a one takedown match. But I think Mendez, 7 minutes, that's a tough thing to contend with. And don't forget how tough he is from the top position. And that could rear itself, especially against Etchemendia, who is still learning all the nuances of getting away from the elite riders. And there's a chance he just takes neutral against Jesse, which, as we know, is an advantage. And Etchemendia taking neutral against Mendez is like, well, that's his best position, but that's Mendez's best position too. So you're not necessarily going into an area of strength. You're just avoiding an area of weakness, right? There's a difference there. So I think Mendez makes that final, loses to Bo Bartlett. I think it was a close match. It was a late exchange. And I think, you know, you go with track record. You go with Penn State's track record. And in those tight matches where it's a one adjustment here, adjustment there, I think Bo can make it. But you're crazy if you don't think this is a coin flip match. And you're crazy. I'm not writing off Jesse Mendez here. I'm not writing off anyone. I'm not writing off Cole Matthews. I'm not writing off Real Woods. But I think the odds are in Bo Bartlett's favor. So I have him bringing home a national title to Penn State. So on the backside, I have Real Woods coming back for third, beating Brock Hardy. I have Hardy beating Etchemendia in that consolation semifinal. And I have Real taking out Sergio Limley. I mean, these are fire matches. These are NCAA semi-caliber bouts that are going to be wrestled on the backside. Limley versus Woods is going to be a war. Both those guys, so tough. Looking at the round of 12, I've got Ryan Jack taking out Cole Matthews. We know that could go either way. And then look at this round before match. You've got Cole Matthews versus Taggin Jamison. I have Matthews winning, but who really knows? That could be Taggin there, and it could be Taggin in the round of 12. That's not a surprise. That's just how deep this weight class is. I have Coder Hant falling to Tom Crook. So Crook makes the round of 12, but he's going to lose to Sergio Limley on my paper here. And I have Cale Happel taking out Jordan Titus also in the round of 12. And then I have Hardy taking out Lachlan McNeil. Tough draw for Lachlan McNeil. He's going to, if he loses his quarterfinal match, he's going to drop into the path of the 8-9 loser, which is either going to be, in my opinion, Brock Hardy or Sergio Limley. So that's going to be a really tricky round of 12 quarterfinal or round two loss combo there. If you're looking at your brackets, someone's going to have a really tough because this weight with the 8-9, those guys are so good. So then I have Hardy beating Happel to make the consolation semi, Etchemendia beating Limley for fifth, and I have Jack beating Happel for seventh. So that's 141 pounds. As you can tell, I have a really high opinion of this weight class. I mean, look at here, the second round consolation. Jordan Titus versus Clay Carlson. Josh Edmond versus Vance Vombar. Someone as great as Brock Hardy, if he loses to Limley, he's in the second round of consolations. He's got a long road back. So anytime you expose yourself to that many different matches and the level's so high, you could see really tough guys like a Brock Hardy, like a Cale Happel, like a Taggin Jameson not place. So 141, it's a great weight class. I feel, you know, I just did 133. Now I'm looking at 41. I feel like this one could definitely, these predictions, I feel a lot less confident, and they could definitely get turned on it on their head. All right, let's move on to 149 pounds. This is the weight class where you got Ridge Love at the top seed, second seed Kyle Parko, three seed Arrington, four seed Henson. And man, I've gone back and forth on this weight class a couple different times. You know, I thought it's going to be Henson. I thought Love it. I thought Shane Van Ness on and on. You know, he's out with for the season with injury for Penn State. So this weight's gone through quite a few changes. But at the end of it all, as you look at this, you got Ridge Lovett at the top. Man, he was an NCAA finalist 2 years ago. He spent last year in redshirt, and he's been fantastic this season. And I think there's a great chance he makes the NCAA final. I don't think I think he's got a really tough semifinal opponent coming. We've seen that match before. I'll get into some of my predictions. I'll get into the early round matchups you're not going to want to miss. But I'm going to start with my NCAA champion, who I think is going to win this weight class. And I'm going to go with Austin Gomez. I know. What am I doing? What are you doing, man? He just lost. I feel like I'm alternating insanity. Like I'm going, what I saw looks good, more pragmatic, and then I'm going back and forth on it. And this one, I wanted to go out on a limb. And I don't think it's that much of a limb, but it's a little bit of a limb. It's a small branch. I'm out there. And here's how I see it going. Austin Gomez is your sixth seed. All right, Jack Crook, Gabe Willischel, or Quinn Kenner is his early matchups. Then Jackson Arrington is the three. And I don't think that's the worst matchup for him. I think Arrington is definitely tough. He can wrestle kind of from everywhere, whereas Gomez, he just wants to win on his feet. I think Gomez will have enough of an advantage from neutral to be able to win that bout. Now, here's where it gets interesting. I have Tyler Kasak taking out Kyle Parko, the two seed, to make the semi, where I have Austin Gomez winning that match. I have Austin Gomez. I think at the end of the day, neutral really matters. And he's got an uncanny ability to get to legs and finish. He's got great reattacks, as we've seen. He's solid upper body. And Kasak, at that point, playing a little bit with house money. But there's also the incredible track record that Penn State has in these semifinal bouts. And if it is Kyle Parko or Tyler Kasak, then, man, the track record for Penn State does make that a pretty scary matchup. I admit I'm out on a limb here. Kyle Parko is someone who beat Austin Gomez last year at NCAAs. And he's able to wrestle out of an underhook really well, Parko is. And that's where Gomez was not able to exploit or whatever, capitalize on that position because Parko feels really competent in that position. So I've got Gomez doing it. What the heck am I thinking? What am I doing? I don't know. I've got him beating Ridge Lovett in that final. That's going to be a tight one, though. We saw Austin Gomez got the first takedown, and then Ridge really responded. He got a takedown, and then he really challenged Austin upper body. And the thing that makes this most interesting is Ridge is bar none the best top wrestler at this weight class and one of the best top wrestlers in the country. Will he choose top at some point in this tournament is something I'm curious about. I'm not sure. A danger for Ridge Lovett is in the semifinal bout where he will potentially face Caleb Henson. I think it's who he will face. Go back to Cliff King, Las Vegas. Rewatch that match. It was so tight. Henson very close to takedown of his own. Virginia Tech fans, they'll tell you it was a takedown. They'll tell you he should have won that match. I'm not going there. All I'm going to say is it was really, really close. Ridge Lovett's fantastic. Caleb Henson's fantastic. He was this close to winning ACCs before dropping a, you know, put it mildly, controversial match to Jackson Arrington. I'll say this, Caleb Henson, you need to stay out of these controversial matches and win them outright, right? But at the same time, he's in them. He's right there to win them, and he's right there to beat someone like Ridge Lovett. So Ridge took a loss to Parko this year a couple weeks back, and he really rebounded well beating Austin Gomez. But Henson has a win over Kyle Parko. So there is some, you know, common opponent momentum, or I don't know if momentum is a word, but data that says, hey, he can beat Ridge Lovett. But I think Ridge gets it done there. I'm kind of working my way backwards here. Ridge's path, nothing really to even discuss until that quarterfinal where I think it's going to be Casey Swiderski without a doubt, because Swiderski's going to have Matthew Williams, then maybe Ethan Fernandez, but I think Swiderski's a lot more proven than Fernandez. So I think that's who we see. And Swiderski struggles with the mat. I think he's going to have a hard time generating against Ridge Lovett. He's got crazy pace to throw at you, but at the end of it, I don't know if he's going to be able to generate enough offense to take down Ridge Lovett. So I think that's a good matchup for Ridge Lovett. And then Ty Waters is someone that I've been talking about all year long, and now he wins Big 12. He's the 5 seed here. He's really – but Logan Joffrey's not an easy first-round matchup for Ty. Joffrey's a tough guy. Then Ethan Miller likely in that second match. Miller can go with just about everyone, and then I think he falls to Caleb Henson. But if Ty's wrestling in the semis, I'm not shocked at all. An interesting round one match here in the top side, and I encourage you to kind of look through the brackets as I go through these. It makes it a little easier to kind of pick up where I'm at. But Iowa's Caleb Rocci versus Oklahoma State's Jordan Williams. This was a rematch from the dual meeting that Jordan Williams won. Now, Jordan's health is now a real question because we saw him get injured at Big 12s. How healthy he's going to be is extremely important, right? And if he's not healthy, if he's not feeling great, that's going to be tough. So I have actually Rocci winning that match, setting up a match between he and Caleb Henson that I think Henson wins. So that's how I see the top side playing out. Bottom, really interesting early round matchup between Tyler Kasek and Jaden Abbas. Abbas is a past All-American for Stanford. He's had really good moments in his career. Now, he is the, let's check this, 26 seed. That's not great, and that's reflective of his season. That's a, you know, an appropriate seed for Jaden based on the year he's had. So, but if for a 7 seed in Kasek and a true freshman, this is a tricky guy in Jaden Abbas. So he's got to be ready for that. And then Kasek also, it doesn't get any easier. Another Pac-12 foe potentially, Chance Lamer. He transferred from Michigan to Cal Poly. He's your 10 seed. He's been tough all year long. And for Kasek, that's no gimme match there. And, of course, that quarterfinal, I already talked about him versus Parco. Coin flip, I went with an upset. You got to take some risks here in your predictions. That's one I decided to take. So, yeah, that's the top side. I got Gomez over Lovett. Who knows? I have Henson getting third over Kasek. I have Parco getting fifth over Waters. And I have Arrington getting seventh over Casey Swiderski. Go back to the round of 12. I've got Waters beating Chance Lamer. I have Swiderski beating Dylan D'Amelio. Parco over Ethan Miller and Arrington over Graham Rook. So not as loaded a round of 12 as we've seen in some other ways. We look at like 141, 125. I think this is a little more of a set weight class with a really well-defined pecking order. So 149, taking a chance here, going with the 6 seed, Austin Gomez, Vision Quest type of deal. He's back for his, what year is this, 6th, 7th? It's hard to tell. We're 2 folk-style retirements into the Austin Gomez story. Maybe he goes out on top. That's my prediction. I wouldn't bet on it, though. There's little doubt in my mind that 157 is the deepest weight class in the country, bar none, without a doubt. This weight has 10 All-Americans in the bracket, and there's just a handful of other really tough guys that are also in the mix that make this the deepest weight. And I'll get into it. There's fire from round one all the way through. I'll get into my champions, my All-Americans, sleepers, dark horses, who's going to place, who could get upset and win. But I'm going to start with my champion, Levi Haynes. I think he does it. He's been number one wire to wire this year. There was a, you know, I've gone back and forth on this, but for the last couple months, I've been pretty consistent that I think Levi's the best guy this weight. He did win Big Tens. He had a tight win over Willawan, his second close one against Willawan. And I think he might have to do that a third time. So if you look at Levi Haynes' path, it's Isaac Wilcox, Ohio State, I think, will be his first matchup. But then Brock Mahler or Teague Travis from Missouri or Oklahoma State. He is from Missouri, actually. Brock Mahler's also from, I think they're from the same high school, actually. They're both from Columbia, I believe. Anyway, that's an aside. Those two wrestle in round one. They're both really, really good. Mahler's a 3-time All-American, and that could be Levi Haynes' second round match. And I think Levi wins that one. And then he's going to get the winner of Willawan Peyton Robb. Now, Peyton Robb was in the Big Ten Finals with Levi Haynes last year. Willawan has been his toughest matchup. So either way, it's going to be a really tough quarterfinal opponent for Levi Haynes. And Willowan, he's been right there, right there. But I can't say the score's close, but has Will been close? Has he been close to scoring? Not really. So I think it's Levi. It's probably a decision, but I think he gets it done against Willowan. And it sets up a semifinal that I actually feel pretty confident in the opponent. I think it's going to be Ed Scott. And if you look at the path, you know, now as I'm saying that, I'm second-guessing it a little bit because in round two, Ed Scott's going to have Michael Blockus. Blockus was the 2-seed at Big Ten, but he got injured. He got injured, had to forfeit out. And anytime that happens, especially now, when you see these forfeits for guys like Michael Blockus who were in a fight for a really good seed going into Big Tens, they forfeit out. That means something. It's not just it's not like it was a couple years ago where you could forfeit out and it doesn't hurt you. This hurt Michael Blockus, and it dropped him down to the 13th seed when he could have left Big Tens with a top 5 seed. So if he's healthy, this is a coin flip match for Ed Scott, but I'm thinking he's probably not very healthy. So I've got Ed winning that. And then I think it's going to be Ed Scott versus Bryce Andonian. And that has gone very favorably for Ed over this season. Last year, it was back and forth. Bryce would major him. He pinned Bryce. Chaos. But it's been pretty consistently Ed. Bryce, we know, is not fully healthy. Now, go back around. Ryder Downey, Bryce Andonian. Ryder Downey is one of the biggest surprises of the season. No one was talking about this guy. He had a really nice showing at Cliff Keen Las Vegas, which got him on the radar. And he's just continued to be really good. He won Big 12s as a freshman. Bryce Andonian, this is an upset. And we know that Bryce Andonian at his best is probably a favorite against Ryder Downey, but I think it would be a close match either way. Ryder's really good on top. He's good in the scrambles. I just think Bryce is good for a big move or a dynamic takedown, enough to get the job done against a very talented freshman Ryder Downey. So I think Andonian gets it done there before losing to Ed Scott. So that's how I have the top half playing out. I have Levi making the final there against Ed Scott. Let's go down to the bottom half where we've got real chaos. And actually, before I do that, I want to talk through two other round one matchups, especially this one, Willowan versus Chase Saldate, the 9 versus 24 seed. Chase Saldate was 1 second away from beating Levi Haynes this year. Chase is really tough. He's beaten a lot of great guys in his career. That's going to be a very competitive match, and if Luan's on the backside after round one, that shouldn't surprise you because Chase Saldate is that good. And Peyton Robb versus Trevor Chumley. Chumley is a guy that's been, he beat Meyer Shapiro this year. And he's going to have Peyton Robb. And we'll get to Meyer next. But those are some of the tough early round matchups. Looking at this one, round two is where it gets really spicy. You're going to have Meyer Shapiro, Cody Chinnam potentially in round two. I've wanted to watch this match since these guys were in high school. It was supposed to be a who's number one match. Didn't happen. They were supposed to hit, I think, in freestyle. Didn't happen. They're supposed to hit at the duel. It didn't happen. So now it feels like a little bit this match is cursed from ever happening, but it also feels like it's undeniable this time because I don't see how these guys don't win their round one matchups, which is maybe my first sign that something's going to stand in that way. But I really think it's going to happen. I think these two guys are going to scrap it out. They're both really physical. Meyer Shapiro is going to have to wrestle really hard for 7 minutes. And he does that sometimes. He does not do that all the time. But he can score 7 minutes worth of points in five, right? Cody Chittum is one of the best wrestlers in terms of pace, physicality in this weight class, without a doubt. And he makes some mistakes. Meyer Shapiro can make some mistakes. I think Meyer will capitalize on enough mistakes early that even if Cody is coming on at the end, I think Meyer will have enough of a buffer to win that match. But if it's close late, I really feel like it's a lean for Chittum. I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think Meyer is going to come out and get a couple early takedowns and be able to hang on for the win against a very tough Cody Chittum, who we saw his match against Ryder Downey. Ryder Downey is the 5, Cody Chittum's the 14. Those two guys are almost interchangeable in my mind as I perceive them against other wrestlers. So I have Meyer winning that one. I have, look at these early matches. Daniel Cardenas, Brayton Lee, round two. I have Brayton Lee pulling the upset there, taking out the 6 seed Cardenas. That's going to be a close match. It's probably not going to be an exciting match, I'll be honest with you. Those guys are going to wrestle really tight and try to win a one-score type of deal. But Brayton Lee has been really good this year in limited capacity, but he's looked strong. I think he gets this one done against Cardenas, but I think he loses to Shapiro in that quarter. Working our way down, Franek is the 10, Keller's the 7. It feels like in perception those seeds would be flipped, but it doesn't matter. I have Franek beating. Now, look at this round one match. He has Joey Blaze in round one. Joey Blaze has a lot of really good wins this year. He beat Peyton Robb. He beat Ed Scott this year. This is not a look past match for Jared Franek. You can't overlook this guy, Joey Blaze, from Purdue. He's really tough. So I think Franek does beat him, and I think he does beat Peyton Keller, and that sets up a quarterfinal against Ja'Cory Teamer. Now, Ja'Cory's the 2 seed, and I kind of went back and forth here. I think Ja'Cory could win this match. I think Franek, this is a great opportunity for Iowa to kind of start to get some points because the seeds weren't great for Iowa, but I think the draws aren't bad. And I think if you're looking for a surprise semifinalist or even finalist for Iowa, it's not bad for Jared Franek. It's not bad. But I've got Ja'Cory winning this match. Now, Iowa glasses for you Iowa fans there. Franek beat Chittum. Chittum beat Ja'Cory this year. There's data. But I got Ja'Cory winning that match. I have Meyer beating Ja'Cory to make the finals. Levi versus Meyer. Give me Levi Haynes. I think he's going to be able to get to Meyer's legs and score. I think he's tough from the top position. I think 7 minutes, hard wrestling. There is a chance that Meyer is just that guy on his feet, and he's going to be able to get 2-3 takedowns on Levi Haynes and be able to win the match. But I think it's going to be really tough for him. All right, let's look at the bottom half. Let's see who I've got placing. Now, there's some crazy early round matches. You know, Vinny Zerbin was the top seed at Big 12s, has a poor showing at Big 12s. He goes all the way down to the 18 seed? He's kind of a really tough, and don't look past that match, you know, going back to the top side. He'll have Ja'Cory Teamer potentially in the second round if he wins his first round match. But Zerbin versus Teague Travis, the second round wrestle-off, wrestle back match. Peyton Robb, Joey Blaze. Blaze has beaten Robb. You've got Brock Mahler, Cale Swinson. That's all in the second round of wrestle backs. Really, really tough stuff here. Peyton Robb, Brock Mahler is the next round. Before I get into all these matches, let's work away from the All-Americans. And I hope you're following along in your brackets as well. You better fill them out front and back side. These matches are awesome. I've got Franek getting third over Ja'Cory, reversing the match. I don't know why. I just did it. It's okay. I've got Ed Scott taking out Willowan for fifth place. And I have Peyton Robb beating Bryce Andonian for seventh. In my round of 12, I've got Andonian beating Saldate, which is the round of 12 match last time for these guys. Andonian beat Saldate in the round of 12 last year. I wasn't trying to make that path happen. That's just the way it played out. I have Willowan beating Cody Chittum. That's a tough one. I had a hard time picking that one, but I feel like Will's stinginess is going to frustrate Cody and create a mistake that Will is going to be equipped to capitalize on. So that's how I see Will placing. I have Franek beating Blockus. Blockus beat Franek earlier this year, but it was a match that it appeared that Franek had won. And then just in the last little bit, he lost. And I have Peyton Robb beating Brayton Lee in the round of 12. Now look at this pre-round of 12 round. Zerbin Saldate, Cardenas Chittum, Blockus Downey, and Robb Mahler. I mean, these are round of 12. These are all American. I mean, if any of these matches end up happening in a placement match, I'm not surprised. This weight is just, it's murderous. It's absolutely brutal. These guys are so good. This is the weight to watch. If there's one weight where I'm like, you just sit back and key in on this one, watch as much 157 as you can. Because not only do you have a large number of talented guys, you have a vast array of skill sets. You have the scrambling and top work of Ryder Downey. You've got the neutral proficiency of Meyer Shapiro. You've got the insanity of Cody Chittum with pace and with scrambling and with risk. You've got Ja'Cory Teamer, one of the most prolific counter wrestlers in the country. This weight really has it all. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be awesome. I think it's Levi's weight, but man, he has got a gauntlet to run to win it. All right, anyone interested in talking a little 165? I think across the board, wrestling fans across the nation are excited for this weight class, and with good reason. You know, you've got a two-time champ in Keegan O'Toole. You've got a national champion, David Carr. You have maybe the brightest young star, the most prolific scoring freshman we've seen in a long time in Mitchell Messenbrink. Those guys alone, and I think really with this weight class, you know, I just did 157, and that was a weight with incredible depth. This weight does not have that level of depth, but the high-end talent here is maybe second to none for any weight class in NCAA wrestling. And so the question has been all year long, is it Keegan, is it Carr? And then not long into the season, Mitchell Messenbrink's name became one of the other names you mentioned. He's slowly been climbing the ranks, passing test after test. He beat Cam Amini, beat him bad. And then he's got Caliendo, he beats him. And then he goes to Big Tens and he beats Hamady in the craziest match of the entire tournament. And now, so he slowly worked his way up, and now he's the two seed. He's one of only two undefeated wrestlers at this weight class. And I think his side, he's going to run through it, personally. I think he's going to run through the bottom half of this bracket and make the final. Expect a lot of bonus points along the way. I think he's going to end up going through Cam Amin again in his quarter. It could be Olenek. I had Cam beating Olenek in that rematch of a match where it looked like Cam was going to win and Olenek took it. Seems like Cam is rounding back into form. Olenek has been up and down, but now he's had a solid showing, but not great elite showing at Big 12s. So I think that's a coin flip match, but I think it doesn't matter for Mitchell's purposes. He puts the pace on these guys and just works to score for 7 minutes straight. And when the dust settles, he normally has way more points, and I think that's what we're going to see again. And then I think it's going to be Michael Caliendo potentially in that semi, or Julian Ramirez, whoever wins that quarterfinal match. And I think this one, I think it's Caliendo. I think Caliendo takes out Ramirez and ends up making that semifinal. It's not, you know, for Julian, he's one of the best guys to not place, and I do think he's going to end up All-Americaning, but I think it's going to be a really tough match for him. Caliendo had a good showing at Big Tens. He's getting the legs well. He's a good athlete, and that's where Julian Ramirez can really challenge guys. I've got Caliendo getting this one. That's one of my slight upsets I'm calling, and don't have a ton of confidence in it, but I don't know. You take some chances here. So I've got it. Mitchell over Caliendo in that semifinal, and I think it's another dominant win. Look at what we saw Mitchell do to Caliendo last time around. And if it were to be Julian Ramirez, I think that's going to be a really fun match because early on, Julian is so dangerous. He's got a lot of ability to put you on your back, and he beat David Carr this year, right? And that's why he's the 3 seed and not the 4, because he beat David Carr. So could be Julian, could be Caliendo. I think Caliendo benefits from having a lot of tough matches later in the year, and he's been able to win some of them. Whereas Julian, the schedule kind of slowed down a bit towards the second half of the year, and he took that loss to Keegan O'Toole. So that's kind of my read on the situation for the bottom half, and there's not a ton of really super interesting early round matchups. That's not to say there won't be upsets. Of course, that's what makes the NCAA so full of surprises, that people like me and fans like you look at this on paper, and you're like, well, I don't think that, you know, Andrew Cerniglia is a tough match for Mike Caliendo, but then we see upsets like that all the time. The Olenek Cam Amin match is the most interesting one of this bottom half before the quarterfinals. And go back and watch that match from Vegas. It was really close, and Olenek got a late pass by to win that match. That one could go either way. Now look at the top half. Keegan O'Toole, the 1 seed, the 2-time champ, going for 3. If you're a Missouri fan, you're looking at this quarter and you get a little sweaty, a little nervous, because you're going to see, man, it might be Peyton Hall again. Now you think of Peyton Hall, it's like, well, you know, he's good, right? Well, for whatever reason, he just wrestles Keegan really tough. Keegan had to mount a comeback against Peyton in their dual matchup earlier this year. It was really close, and it was a near escape from Peyton that would have sent that match, I think, in overtime. If he gets a reversal, he wins in regulation. So Peyton Hall versus Keegan O'Toole is a likely quarterfinal matchup, and you can't look past that if you're a Missouri fan. But for Peyton, he's got to get past Antrell Taylor in that second round. That's the 8-9 matchup. Antrell, so hard to score on. Peyton, a lot of offense. I cannot wait for that one. That's going to be a tight match, but I got Peyton winning that one. Looking around, Dean Hamady, David Carr, I don't think anything stops that from being a quarterfinal. And that's been a match that Carr's been able to win and win every single time they faced one another. And I think it's going to be close. I thought Dean showed a lot in his match against Mitchell Messenbrink. I mean, he was, I don't want to say handling him because of how it ended, but he was in the driver's seat in that match. He rode him tough. He was counter-scoring. He looked really good, but he couldn't handle the onslaught for 7 minutes. And against David Carr, I think it's going to be a little closer, but at the end of it all, Carr gets it done. He's going to get the takedown he needs. He might be able to ride, but I think it's probably just a one takedown match for David Carr. And he punches his ticket and sets up the rematch between Keegan O'Toole and David Carr yet again. This will be the fifth meeting, right? Yeah, fifth meeting. And I think it goes the way the last two have gone. I think Keegan gets it done again. I think we saw a lot from what we didn't see from Keegan really is like generating, right? Was he able to go under there, get to his legs and finish? But we've seen that in the past, but we didn't see that in the last meeting. It was a great re-attack from Keegan and then a really creative counter scramble thing from Keegan to win it. But I think Carr is going to have a hard time figuring out the scores. He's got to get back to his head inside single. Keegan's forcing it to the outside, and that's where he's really tough. And so can Carr do that? Absolutely. He can absolutely win this match and be a national champion again. But based on what I've seen the last two meetings, I'm going to go with Keegan. And then I think it sets up the match, right, with the one we've been talking about, Keegan versus Mitchell, high school teammates, Askren Wrestling Academy teammates, guys that have trained together for years. And, you know, it's not an easy call, but I'm going with Keegan. I think the size, I saw the size difference. I really think Mitchell is probably, I think he could have went 57 this year. And Ben's been kind of, you know, open about that. And I think the skills are similar. I think Mitchell can get to legs against anyone. I think he is a pure just wrestler in that he just fires and fires. And he's so, you almost want to say reckless. And I think it actually is an appropriate word, but he's reckless in a way that helps him. But I think against Keegan, he's going to have to show a little more caution because I think when you fire in there, I think Keegan can capitalize. Then again, who's felt some of Keegan's scrambles and counter ability more than Mitchell Messenbrink? Not many people outside of the Missouri wrestling room. So I do think I could be overvaluing Keegan's counter ability against Mitchell. But I think all things being considered with the mat, I think I give a slight top edge to Keegan. I think I give a slight edge to Keegan in the scrambles and just the overall size. But Mitchell, if he's down late and he has to go get to the leg, and it's been a close match, that's a match that he can win. So I can't wait for this one. I mean, it's maybe the most anticipated final of them all, right? And if I had my druthers, I would end with this match at NCAAs. I think it's going to be that good. It's just two super kids, great wrestlers, great programs, and I want to see how it plays out, but I have Keegan winning that match. Let's go to the backside. I've got Carr getting third over Hamady. They're going to wrestle again. I've got Caliendo beating Julian Ramirez for fifth, and I've got Amin taking out Peyton Hall in that seventh place match. Round of 12, I've got Hamady over Olenek. I've got Hall over Thompson. Got Amin over Garvin. And I've got Ramirez over Antrell Taylor. So really, really, really fun weight with a really impressive top end of talent. You know, I shouldn't overlook Julian Ramirez considering he beat David Carr. I know that. I know he can go with Mike Caliendo. I know he can go with Mitchell Messenbrink. I do feel like those top five are super, just fantastic wrestlers and could go a lot of different directions. Excited for this one. I know you are too. Who you got? 165, Keegan, Mitchell, David, Julian, someone else. Let me know. No way is going to have more eyeballs on it than 174. No way. No chance, no how. Carter Storace is the number one story in NCAA wrestling right now. He's a three-time NCAA champion going for his fourth. He did not wrestle at the Big Ten Championships due to injury. We do not know how healthy Carter Sturacci is. He got the 9 seed. 9 seed. Crazy. And with that, he's going to have the opportunity to create some absolute chaos in the top half of that bracket, which has not one, not two, but 3 NCAA champions in the top half. That's, I don't want to say unprecedented, but incredibly, incredibly rare. And so for Carter, round one matchup, he's got Andrew Sparks, who he had to forfeit against at Big Tens. And so as I'm, you know, this is my predictions. I kind of go through who I think is going to win and place and who are some potential dark horses. For Carter, there's two things. I've heard a little bit, oh, you know he's healthy. You know he's fine. And I say, do we really? I know he said he was. And I know a lot, and it's a lot of coaches that are telling me this. Like, he's fine, he's fine. He's like, okay, well, let's look at track record here. Let's look at Penn State's track record. They have done this where they entered a wrestler and didn't have him wrestle a match at conferences. They've done this one time ever, and that was 2017 Nick Soriano, who didn't even wrestle at NCAAs. Now you say, what about Nolf? And what about you? Okay, let's look. Nolf wrestled. Not only did he wrestle, he wrestled and won 2 matches that year, and then he forfeited out. Okay, Shakur Rashid forfeited in the Big Ten Finals, so they wrestled matches. There's only one other occasion where Penn State's done this, and that person, Nick Soriano, didn't end up even wrestling at NCAAs. So for those of y'all saying, oh, we know Penn State doesn't do this. They don't do this unless it's a real, real injury. And so I think Carter's going to say he's fully healthy, of course. But in my mind, and just looking at track records, I think he's going to be limited in some capacity. The question is, will he be limited enough? We know that there is a gap when everyone's healthy. There's a gap between Carter Sturacci and the rest of the country. But now we don't know what the gap is, or if there even is a gap. All that being said, I got Carter winning this weight. I have to see him wrestle a match and not get his hand raised before I pick against him. This guy hasn't lost since he was a freshman in the Big Ten Finals to Michael Kemmer. 2021, it's 2024 now, okay? That's a long winning streak. He's been in some tough wars. He's had to win some really hard matches, and I think he's going to do it again. I think he goes through Andrew Sparks and through Adam Kemp, and then he's got Makai Lewis, an NCAA champion, a guy he beat for an NCAA title his sophomore year. And for Makai, you could look at it two ways. You could look at, hey, this is a great opportunity to knock him off early, right off the scale, a quarterfinal match. Maybe it could be an advantage for him. I don't know. Both those guys are really big for the weight, in my opinion. I think the weigh-in thing is probably not much of a factor. But if you're Makai Lewis and you're like, all right, I'm wrestling a hobbled Carter Sturacci, that's an opportunity, right? Because Makai can move and generate offense with speed and power that if you're injured or limited or a little a hair slower than normal, that could be enough. That could be the difference. That could be what Makai needs to take out Carter Sturacci. But I can't. It's some of these guys, you just say, I'm just not picking it until I see it again. And even though he's injured, I'm taking Carter to win that match. And his semifinal opponent may surprise you, in my prediction. I've got Patrick Kennedy. Now, he's the 12th seed, and he should be the 12th seed. But I think there's some things going on here, reasons I think that's not an unreasonable pick. Let's look at the 4th seed, Shane Griffith. He got injured in his Big Ten semi, which he won. But ankle injury, it seems, it looks like ankle to me. And those are pesky, and those can slow you down, and those can change how you wrestle, right? Maybe even worse than a knee in some instances, right? It really can hamper your mobility. So with that, all that being said, I think I've got Griffith making it to the quarters against, I think he beats Brody Conley. I think he beats Faison. Faison's not a tough first round. That's a pretty tough first round match too. But I think he makes that quarter. But Patrick Kennedy, I think he beats Tyler Eichens in the first round. And I think he beats Phil Canigliaro. Canigliaro lost twice to Benny Baker at EIWAs. And it's not about Benny Baker, but, you know, pretend, forget the name, that's the 26 seed. So the 5 seed lost to the 26 seed last week. So that That says a lot to me. Patrick Kennedy, meanwhile, had a great Big Ten. He's looking really tough. He's beating a lot of good guys. He's already beaten the 3 seed, Edmund Ruth, this year. I've been really high on Patrick Kennedy. So I think he beats 5 seed Conigliaro, and then I think he beats 4 seed Shane Griffith, a limited Shane Griffith, not the Shane Griffith we'd seen previously. And injuries just matter. And all things being equal, and if it winds up being that Shane Griffith's 100% healthy, okay, well then that would change my prediction. But I just don't think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see Patrick Kennedy win that match before losing to Carter Storace in the semifinal. But what a first, what a top half here. 3 NCAA champions. And it's very different from the bottom. The bottom, you have 1 returning All-American versus 3 NCAA champions on the top. And that man is Peyton Mocko. He's the 22 seed. Crazy. Crazy. So the 2 seeds, Cade DeVos, 3, Edmund Ruth. Everyone knows I'm high on Rocco Welsh, and that is not going to cease. I've got Rocco going through Wask and then Mocko, so a Rocco-Mocko matchup. That's tight. And then I've got him against Edmund Ruth again, and I'm saying third time's a charm. I've incorrectly picked this twice. I'm going to do it again potentially. I've got Rocco Welsh making the semis, beating Edmund Ruth, and where he'll take on Cade DeVos. Now, this is another coin flip match. I think Ruth Welsh is a coin flip match, and I think no matter who it is, if it's DeVos versus Ruth, if it's Welsh versus DeVos, coin flip, coin flip, coin flip. I think all those matches could go either way. These are really tight. I do think, I will say this, I would be surprised if anyone other than those three, make the final at 174 on the bottom half. I really think those are the three best guys at the weight, and any of the other guys making it would genuinely surprise me. But I've got DeVos getting it done for South Dakota State, making the finals. He had a close match against Gavin Sachs out of North Dakota State in the Big 12 finals, but he was able to get his hand raised there. DeVos is right there to beat Shane Griffith this year. He's super tough. He can wrestle from everywhere. He's good on his feet. He's hard to take down. He can wrestle from top. Across the board, really good wrestler. But, I debated putting Welsh in the finals here. I said, well, let me relax here. He hasn't shown he can beat Edmund Ruth yet, so I need to maybe temper, take a half measure there on my prediction. But I have DeVos beating Lennox Wolak, which if you haven't watched Lennox Wolak, this guy's great. We just did a little Earn Your Gold, did a breakdown post on how great this guy is with upper body stuff. So make sure you check out that on our Instagram page. But I don't think he's going to be able to Uchimata Cade DeVos to the NCAA semis. So that's how I see the top half playing out. There are some interesting early round matchups, but by and large, this is about the Carter Storace, Mackay, Griffith, Kennedy, whoever showdown, and then who emerges to the final out of those big three of the top half. And for the bottom half, or for the backside, I've got Mackay Lewis getting third over Patrick Kennedy for fourth. Rocco Welsh, fifth over Edmund Ruth. I haven't beaten him twice. And I have Shane Griffith over Brody Conley. That's right, West Virginia wrestling fans. I love Brody Conley's path. This is a guy who has a win over Adam Kemp this year. Now, Adam Kemp injury defaulted out late after the result seemed at hand for Conley. But listen to this. I have Conley losing to Griffith. Then he drops down. And where does he go? So I have him going through Kramer of Central Michigan. And then Conigliaro. Conigliaro's best win is a shared one over Adam Kemp. I think Conley gets this done. And then, because Conigliaro had kind of a rough showing at, as I already mentioned, at EIWA. So I think I like Conley there. And then Conley over Lennox Wolak. That's more of a coin flip match in the round of 12. But, every now and again you get some of these upset guys that end up making the All-American round. Now, Conley is the 20 seed. I should mention that. So a little bit of a stretch, but we see 20 seeds and higher on the podium, and we could see it here at 174 pounds. I've got Ruth over Kemp in the round of 12, and I mentioned Conley over Wolak. I have Mackay over Mocko, and I have Griffith over MJ Gaitan in the round of 12. So another really exciting weight. Most of the focus is going to be on that top half. I can't wait for it. I think Sturaci gets it done. We're not going to know. We're going to analyze Carter. We're going to watch him. We're going to watch him against Andrew Sparks. And really only until then are we going to have a clear picture of how good Carter Sturaci is going to be for this tournament. But either way, history on the line at 174. 184 pounds, another really fun weight class, one that has one of the more exciting number one seeds in the country, and it's Parker Kekhuizen from UNI. And he has just put together a fantastic season start to finish. He won Vegas. He won a loaded Big 12s. He was dominant in the Big 12 final against really tough Dustin Plott, who's put together a great year for himself. So I'm going to get into who I think is going to win this weight class, how I think it's going to play out from start to finish. And this weight doesn't have the depth of a 157 necessarily, but it's pretty deep. There's a lot of really good guys. There have been some new names that have emerged and become contenders, and we're going to get into all those guys. But at the top, I got to pick Parker Kekhuizen to win this weight. There's nothing you've seen. He may not win this, right? But there's nothing we've seen this year that would make any other pick make sense. You could say, oh, yes, you know, Salazar or Plott, or you could say, you know, Bernie Truax. But there's nothing we've seen this year that would say anyone other than Parker's going to win this week. From dominance and scoring and ways to score and momentum at the conference tournament, everything points to Parker. So he's my pick. He's the pick to win. He's the best guy at this weight class. He's had the best year. But the best guys don't always win. You need to remember that. So before you start, you know, putting it in ink, I'm writing this one in pencil. Parker Kekhuizen, national champion. Now, here's his path. Will Feldkamp, I think he'll have him in round two. Will Feldkamp was an All-American last year, and he's a pinner. But Parker has shown he's got an advantage over him. And then the quarterfinal, I think it's going to be Bennett Berge. Could be Sam Wolf, probably someone from the Big 12. Berge's had a really good year. He had a tough match against Dustin Plott in the duel. He's got some nice wins. But I think Parker beats him. And then who Parker faces in the semi is interesting, because it could be Munoz, it could be Pinto, it could be someone like Jaden Bullock from Michigan, a guy who no one was talking about coming into this year, and we weren't really sure if he was going to be Michigan's starter. And it turns out now that we see the starter, he's a threat to All-American for the Wolverines. But I think it's going to be Lenny Pinto who beats Trey Munoz, Munoz being the four seed, to make that semifinal bout where he falls to Parker Kekhuizen. Parker's beaten him this year, I believe, at Vegas. So that's a coin flip match, though. Pinto and Munoz could go either way. I think Pinto beat him at Vegas. A lot of these guys were at Las Vegas, so you'll hear me reference Cliff Keen Las Vegas tournament throughout this review, breakdown, whatever you want to call it, predictions, just because so many of those guys were all there. But again, it's Parker. A couple early round matches. Keep an eye on Pinto Bullock round two. That was a really close match at Big Tens, but watching it, I didn't really see where Bullock ever had a good opportunity to score. He made it hard for Pinto to score on him, but I wasn't sure how Bullock was ever going to score on him. And another interesting early round match is Bullock versus Brian Soldano. Soldano, I mean, he's crazy. He can pin just about anyone, so Bullock has to be aware in that matchup. So not a lot of drama in this top half, as far as I can tell. Bottom half, we could see some chaos here. I think we really could. Looking at Dustin Plott versus Chris Foca round two. Foca is someone that coming into this year, when we found out he was going 184, I was like, man, he might be a title contender here. It has not played that way for Chris Foca, but the skill is still there. This guy's really tough on top. He can scramble. He can generate. Can he generate enough against Dustin Plott? He's going to have to win. If he beats Dustin Plott, he's going to win one big exchange. It's like not just a takedown exchange. It's got to be probably takedown into near fall type of situation. He's going to have to get a big chunk of points against Plott, because Plott is good for 2-3 takedowns against just about everyone in America, save Parker Kekhuizen. So Plott, Foca, if you're looking for an upset alert early on, it could be that one, but I have Plott winning that one. I just have a really high opinion on the season Plott's had. But as I say that, look at Bernie Truax out of the sixth seed. He's rounding into form, and I think he gets this done against Dustin Plott. I think you got two guys that are really dynamic leg attackers. I like that. Plott is not the Salazar's a big brute, bruising physical guy, kind of like Pinto, kind of like Parker even. Plott is super slick to the leg. Can he beat up Bernie Truex? I'm not as sure. I think Truex will be able to get to his single leg and maybe give some issues from the top position. So that's my upset I'm calling. This is a tough path for Plott. Going through Foca and Truex, that's not easy. That's a challenging, challenging path for Dustin Plott. He could run it and make the final. There's no question about it. Dustin Plott has that ability. But I think Truex beats him, makes that semi. So let's look down below. If you're looking for another surprise potential semifinalist, finalist, look at TJ Stewart. I mean, you look at how his year started. Don't look at that. Don't look at that part. Don't look at the first Gavin Kane match either. Do not look at that. Look at the last month or so. He's beaten Dylan Fishback twice, and he looks like he's getting better every single time out. Now, what are the questions with TJ? We know he can take down just about anyone, right? We know he's really good on his feet. He's hard to get to, and he can generate. He can fire powerful double to single and finish. He lifts you up, puts you down. It's nice. He's got really good re-attacks as well. 7 minutes. That's been a challenge. If you want to go back to some of his earlier matches, 7 minutes can be a challenge for him. But I think TJ is going to wrestle Dylan Fishback again in round two. I think he'll win again. He's won twice sort of dominantly, and the second time was more dominant than the first, I believe. So I think he does that. And then he's got Isaiah Salazar. I think it'll be Salazar. Salazar's got to get by Rogatsky, but I think it's going to be Salazar. I didn't quite pull the trigger here for TJ over Salazar, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did it. But Salazar, the Big Ten champ, he's looked awesome this year. He's a complete package. Great hand fighter. Great from the top position. Good from neutral. I mean, we just saw him beat Bernie Truex. The Penn State track record in these semifinal bouts cannot be ignored. If Bernie's there, it was an overtime loss against Salazar. I think he reverses that decision and makes the NCAA finals. But I think Parker is going to get it done there. But if you remember, go back to that All-Star match between Bernie and Parker. Crazy close match, crazy close. And for that reason, I think you can't dismiss Bernie in that matchup. He got the first takedown in that bout. But the pressure and the motion and the relentless onslaught of attack, that's still going to be there. And Bernie's still going to have to deal with that. And I don't know if he can deal with it for 7 minutes against Parker. And not like he can't hold up for 7 minutes. It's just from a probability standpoint, as much as Parker attacks, and he seems to be able to attack with impunity, like he doesn't get countered. He doesn't get reattacked, right? He attacks and he either scores or no one scores. So I think with that much offense, Parker's going to get the takedowns he needs to win this match. But Penn State fans should not be surprised to see Bernie in the finals. And if he wins, you know, it's Penn State. They do things like that often. I do feel confident Bernie does place, but I think no further than second. But can't rule out much in this weight class. But I've got 184's third placer. I got Dustin Plott beating Salazar. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't have a lot of confidence in that one. I think both of them could win that match. That could be the semi too, right? That could be a semifinal match, not a third place bout. I've got Plott winning it. I've got Pinto over Munoz again, and I've got Berge over Bullock for seventh place. Here's my round of 12. I've got Munoz over Fishback. I've got Berge over Chris Foca. That could be interesting. Foca, he's got a long road back after if he loses to Plott. He'll have to go through Jacob Nolan, Colton Hawks, and then Bennett Berge in all likelihood. That's a tough road back. Foca can do it, though. I wouldn't rule it out. I still believe in his talent. Bullock over Stewart is a round of 12 match. So I am high on TJ Stewart, but if he doesn't make that semi, I think the Bullock matchup is tough for him because I think he can counter some of where TJ's dangerous, and I think he can win kind of an ugly sort of one takedown or a ride out or kind of match, but maybe not. There's a real chance TJ Stewart places as a freshman here for the Hokies. And then Plott over Malchewski. In the round of 12 there. So great weight. I don't have the strongest of feelings on this one, but I do know that Parker Katkaisen has been start to finish the best 184 in the country. Now everyone's excited about 74 and 65 and those potential finals, and there's no doubt those are going to be great. But for me, 197 if we get this final that I'm predicting here, it is, I think it's fireworks. And I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people in the wrestling, you know, community are maybe writing this off a little too much. And I kind of understand why. So let me just get it. I have Aaron Brooks and Trent Hiley making the NCAA finals. That's not a surprise, right? They're the top two seeds. They are two of the most dominant wrestlers, not the weight, in the country. Aaron Brooks has one decision. Everything else is bonus. Major tech pin. Trent Hiley, who's wrestled more matches, he's like 24-0. He only has two decisions, 83% bonus. He has been a wrecking ball on the mat, right? And on the one hand, Aaron Brooks is, I think, 3-0 for his career against Hiley in NCAA competition. Of course, they also wrestled in freestyle, where Aaron had the advantage there as well. But what we've seen, they've had close matches in the past, right? And I think this is going to be a close one here. And I think Trent is wrestling as well as we've ever seen him wrestle, right? Now, the problem for Trent is, I think the same is true for Aaron Brooks. He looked surgical, clinical at Big Tens, right? We saw the duel against Iowa and Glazier. It didn't look great. The illness thing was running through everyone at that point in time. Iowa, Penn State, Missouri, everyone was feeling it. I think that's what Aaron was dealing with there. But I think it's a really close match. I think that Aaron Brooks, you know, is the winner of this bout. But, man, I went back and forth on this. But at the end of it all, and another thing I want to say about it, everyone knows Aaron Brooks is world-class, right? Like, he was, you know, he made Final X. He lost to David Taylor, the pound-for-pound best wrestler in the world. Not the country, not the weight, the world. There's no one better right now than David Taylor. And Aaron Brooks is his peer. Trent Hiley is in this is an elite freestyler as well. He is someone that in a, you know, alternate universe, if we say, hey, Trent's got to go to the Olympics, I think he's coming back with a medal. I feel that strongly. This is a guy who has a freestyle win over Miles Amin the same year Miles was an Olympic bronze medalist. He's a guy who beat world silver Ken Chadze. He won a loaded Bill Farrell. He beat Alex Derringer. He is on the level without a doubt. And I feel as confident about this being the finals matchup as any at any weight. And I think I can say that confidently. I just think these two are heads and shoulders above the field. And I don't know that I thought that coming into this year. I thought Aaron was head and shoulders above the field. Now I feel like Trent's there with him too. So it's going to be an epic match. Brooks won a little more handily last year than he had previously, but these are close 2-3 1-point decision victories. So going to be a tight one, no doubt. I've got Brooks. Let's work our way back and see how we got there. I have Brooks beating his former teammate Michael Beard in the semi. Michael is another guy who, if you followed his season, this guy puts up points like crazy. He may be the third most prolific point scorer at this weight class, but he's at a weight class with Aaron Brooks that I think he can shut down a lot of what he does. He's going to be familiar with Beard, and I think he's going to be able to win that match with little issue in the semi. I have Brooks over Buchanan in the quarterfinal. And Buchanan, I have beating a very tough Stephen Little, but Buchanan was able to beat him earlier this year. I think Buchanan beats Little Rocks Little once again to set up that quarterfinal against Aaron, which, you know, Buchanan is a hard guy to take down. But I just don't see how he gets any points on Aaron Brooks other than, you know, an escape that likely Brooks gives him. I don't think that's a great matchup for Buchanan. But that's not to say he can't place. A guy to keep an eye on, 12-seed Rocky Elam. And this is someone that we thought could win 197 a year ago that would be in the finals a year ago. And now he's not had the season we thought. But he's the 12 here. And if you're looking for a surprise semifinalist in this weight, he's a good candidate. I don't ultimately choose him to do it, but I do have him beating Jacob Cardenas in that second round. Now, Cardenas beat him in the duel. I have that result getting flipped. I thought it was a pretty close match, and that was during a time where Missouri just collectively had a down duel meet. So I think Elam can get that one back before falling to Beard the next round. And that's basically what I see going down at the 197 top half. Bottom half, I've got Trent Hiley making it. You know that. I have Sloan beating Jackson Smith in that quarterfinal. Now, Jackson beat Sloan in that semi, or at Cliff Keen semis, had the big lift and return, skied him, lifting him. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that again. I didn't like a lot of what I saw from Jackson from that semifinal and the wrestle backs at, or in the third place bout at Big Tens. So I think he can still place, but I don't know if he's going to be able to beat Tanner Sloan, who's coming off a Big 12 title. And I believe it only has very few losses this year, Tanner Sloan. A match, but in saying that, I do have Jackson Smith taking out the sixth seed, Lou Dupre, in the second round. That's a coin flip match. Everyone knows how tough Lou Dupre is, but he's had a hard time putting it together. I think Jackson's got a neutral offense advantage there against Lou Dupre. And for that reason, I've got Jackson over Dupre in that second round there. Another interesting second round match, Zach Glazier versus Silas Allred. Glazier made the Big 10 finals. Allred ended up getting third, and it feels like Allred's kind of rounding back into form a little bit. And that's very notable for Nebraska. And I don't think it's going to be a major decision for Glazier again, like it was in the dual meet. That was an eye-opening moment. But I haven't seen enough to say Zach Glazier is going to lose that match to Silas Allred. So I have Glazier winning it. But if you're looking for a 10 over 7, this would not surprise me at all if Allred were able to beat Zach Glazier. But then I have Glazier losing to Hidley in that quarterfinal bout, which sets up the backside, where I have Michael Beard getting third over Tanner Sloan. That's really competitive. Beard's got a little more, I think, neutral ability. Sloan maybe a little more on top. And I think Beard gets it done on his feet against Sloan. I have Elam over Jackson Smith for fifth place. And I've got Buchanan over Cardenas for seventh. So my round of 12 is as follows. I've got Elam over Silas Allred. I've got Buchanan over Dupre. Cardenas over Glazier in the round of 12. So Glazier could go a lot of different directions. You know, if he loses to Allred earlier, he would have someone like Rocky Elam. So either way, I think being in Trent Hiley's quarter is going to give Zach Glazier a really tough round of 12 opponent, just because this weight is super deep. I mean, I just said Silas Allred's a Big Ten champ. He's the 10 seed. Rocky Elam, multiple All-American, he's the 12. Really good weight class. And then I've got Jackson Smith over Stephen Little in the round of 12. But Little could absolutely win that match and wind up placing. So 197, really deep weight class, but I feel like Trent and Aaron are a cut above, and I think we're going to see that next week in Kansas City. All right, heavyweight, final weight class, and looking at this, I think the most anticipated rematch for me is in this weight class, and it's the Big 12 Finals rematch between Younger Besida and Wyatt Hendrickson. Now, before we get there, we'll go through the whole bracket. We got Greg Kerfleet, the 1 seed, Younger, the 2, Hendrickson, the 3, 4 seed, Colton Schultz, and the 5th seed, Nathan Taylor Lehigh. Now, there's a couple sleepers in here I'm going to mention to you, but before we get in too far into the nitty-gritty, I want to start at the high end. Who I think is going to win this weight class? I think it's going to be Greg Kerfleet. I think he wins this weight class, I think. Start to finish, he's been the best guy, I believe, although there's a strong case for Younger Besida. And let's get into Greg first before we get into that juicy rematch that I think is bound to happen. Greg goes through Will Ham, Grady Greese, and then Nick Feldman in the quarter. Now, Feldman, you know, he showed a little something in that Big Ten final. He got the takedown against Kerfleet, something that he wasn't able to do in the dual meet. So Feldman is a guy improving, emerging. He's looking exactly like we thought he would look as a freshman, right? He didn't get to really wrestle at all last year because of injury, so he's kind of really rounding into form now and becoming that neutral dynamo. That guy is really a lot harder to take down than I realized he would have been. Still has some issues getting off the bottom, but man, he is really tough on his feet. So Kerfleet can't look past Feldman there, but it's going to be a Kerfleet win, I believe. And then I think it's a Kerfleet win over Colton Schultz. I think Schultz goes through Huttmacher in what will be the heaviest match, I believe, of the tournament. Then Slava Kuski, and then Nathan Taylor to set up the Kerfleet semifinal, where Greg is I think just going to be able to just move a little bit better than Colton. Colton's got to get to those underhooks and move Greg all over the mat. I think Penn State could take a little page out of Younger Bastida's book. How did Younger hand fight and avoid some of the position where Colton's really tough? I think that's what Greg's going to need to do. Fire off a shot or two and win this match. But I think it's Kirk Fleets to win, and I think he does win that match. It makes his second straight NCAA final. Couple early round matchups, guys to keep an eye on. Nathan Taylor, Connor Doucette. I think that's notable. I think I think Doucette's tough. And I think Taylor, although he's been good, he's had some moments. He's had some lapses. He had a loss to Dayton Pitzer this season. So Dayton Pitzer also, you know, I have Doucette beating Pitzer in round one, but that's an early round matchup where it could go either way. And Pitzer's someone who's been battling injuries this year, but everyone knows how tough this guy is for Pitt. Bottom half, Wyatt Hendrickson, Younger Bastida. Is it going to happen? I think so. But I think for Younger Bastida, the path is not, you know, super smooth. He's going to have Luis Fernandez round two. Should be fine. Lucas Davison in the quarter. Go back and watch that Vegas final. It was Younger that won, but it was a close match. It was not decided until late in the, I think, the third period. So don't discount Lucas Davison in that match. And even though he didn't have the best Big Tens, he's still a really tough guy. He's a multiple All-American for Northwestern. Now he's wrestling for Michigan. He's going to have to get by Tay Gadali, right, to set up that Younger match. Davison's got to beat Tay Gadali, who is super dynamic, great upper body, good from the top position. He's got a win over Nick Feldman this year. Gadali is a guy that a lot of people haven't watched wrestle, but you should. You're going to enjoy watching him. And this is winnable for Gadali against Davison. But for me, I'm going with a guy that's proven it at this level consistently. I'm going Davison wins that matchup, sets up a Bastida match that I think he loses. I think Bastida gets that one done. Let's look at Wyatt Hendrickson's path. He's got Seth Nevels, Boone McDermott, then Zach Elam. I think no problems there. I think he cruises to that semifinal. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Because on the one hand, it's clear, right? Younger won this match at Big 12s. He had the big move, and it was really no issue, right? Well, one big move, and I would say there's differences, right? There's generating your score and then going after it and getting it, and then there's, you know, capitalizing on a mistake. And we saw Younger capitalize on a mistake there. It was Wyatt in deep on the shot, the first really deep shot of the match. And he tried a finish that is not advisable. That I think a youth coach would say, you don't want to, when you have the foot on the outside, you don't want to try to step in and trip. And you definitely don't want to do it against Younger Bastida, who could, he could do whatever he wants on his foot. I mean, Kevin Dresser says this guy will go from one mat to the other, all bouncing on one foot, and guys can't take him down. So Younger is dangerous there. But I think this is more of a coin flip match than people realize. And while Younger's been great, I'm going with the upset, and I'm saying it is an upset if Wyatt beats him. I've got Wyatt taking out Younger Bastida and making the finals where he will fall to Greg Kerfleet. I don't know. You know, I take every bracket, I try to take a chance or two, try to go out on a limb. And this is a little bit on a limb. But what I saw late in that match and what I saw Wyatt not get a chance to wrestle from the top position. We know that Younger wants to wrestle on his feet. Where doesn't he want to wrestle? He doesn't want to go under Wyatt Hendrickson. That's why he went neutral, right? Younger, Wyatt's got to get into his position of advantage, which is the top position. I think if he makes that more of a factor and he's a little more cautious in how he approaches his finishes, I think he can win this match. So that's why I've got Wyatt making the final over Younger. But these are it's hard because these are two of my favorite wrestlers in the country, and they are hitting in the semis. I would love to see this as a final, but Greg Kerfleet exists, and he would have something to say for it. So that's my prediction. I have Greg over Wyatt in the final. How do I have it playing out down below? I've got Younger getting third over Colton Schultz. He already beat him once. I think he does it again. I've got Lucas Davison taking out Nathan Taylor, and I've got Nick Feldman taking out Zach Elam. Now, as we look at some of these round of 12 matchups, I've got Nathan Taylor over Gadali. Could go either way, for sure. I've got Feldman over Pitzer. Feldman, free coaching advice. for Ohio State. They should not go under this guy. Do not go under Dayton Pitzer. He is dangerous from the top position. Feldman will have an advantage on his feet, and I think he'll win this match, become an All-American as a freshman for Ohio State. I got Davison over Doucette, and I've got Elam over Treffen of NC State. That's how I see the heavyweight class playing out. I cannot wait for this one. There's so many great matches, but, man, for me, cannot wait for that Hendrickson-Bastida rematch. But at the end of it all, it's Greg Kerfleet, an NCAA champion for Penn State at 285.